On the first portion of the Early Bird this morning, a conversation I recorded at the Illinois Corn Growers Annual Meeting a few days ago this past Tuesday with Garrett Hawkins.
He was elected at their reorganizational meeting, which was held immediately following the organization's annual meeting in Bloomington. Garrett, welcome to our microphone. I always like to ask the incoming president of any organization their goals for the coming year, so I would ask you the same.
Well, thank you. Our first and foremost main goal is we work for Illinois Corn Farmer. We're the voice for the farmer that can't be there, in Springfield and in Washington. But some of the main focuses that we have, we're going to be working really hard for to get Next Generation Fuels Act reintroduced in Washington. Obviously, we're always working on the Farm Bill. And big thing with the new president coming in, we're going to be talking about tariffs, working hard to make sure we still got good trade to increase our value of our product.
You mentioned foreign trade, sir. Corn exports for Illinois, very, very important.
Oh, corn's a very big one, especially where Illinois is situated. We have the Illinois River, Mississippi, and the Ohio. Exports is a big component of Illinois agriculture.
You moved up the ladder through the chairs in the Illinois Corn Organization, vice president last year, and now heading up ICGA for the coming year. You've seen a lot of successes, but also, as you've just indicated, there are a lot of challenges ahead as your organization represents Illinois corn farmers.
Oh, yes. That's the thing about farming. One of my dad's favorite sayings, farm, you do something, the same thing every year, but every year is totally different. Same way with Illinois corn. We have our main goals. However, some things will pop up, and it's just never ending,
As I mentioned earlier, your family farms in Monroe County, the Waterloo community. Tell us a little bit about that. I presume since you're taking the lead here now with Illinois corn for a while, that you've got people at home that are helping the farming operation?
Well, our farming operation is pretty unique. I farm with my father, who is turning 84 here shortly, but he's still with me every day, working side by side, and we grow corn, soybeans, wheat, alfalfa, and even though our address is Waterloo, we're actually closer to Valmire, which is in Mississippi River bottoms, mm-hmm. just south of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. It certainly shows your commitment to Illinois corn to be able to take the time to do this, because I know it's something that does take a lot of time, a lot of effort, and wish you the very best in your new role.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm also on my local volunteer fire department, and the old saying is, what if volunteers didn't? And that goes on any organization, no matter if it's corn, soy, commodity groups, your local groups of Optimist, Lions, it's the volunteers that do the work for the people who can't be there, or a voice for, people who can't be there. We're all in this together, and everybody needs to do their part. And I just feel that this is my part of doing it for my farming community.
Garrett Hawkins, the new president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association. As I mentioned on Farm Time yesterday, joining Mr. Hawkins in leadership roles are Vice President Mark Bunselmeyer of Marrora, Treasurer Dan Parker of Dwight, and Secretary Ellen Ron of Mount Carroll. Now, as we continue on this very cold Saturday morning, remember the old saying for March about coming in like a lamb and going out like a lion, or vice versa? Well, today, the last day of November, is certainly going out very, very, very cold. Regardless, up next on the program, an interview I recorded at our NAFB meeting just a few weeks ago in Kansas City with Jeff Cooper. Mr. Cooper is president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association.
Let's go back and review, in your opinion, some of the accomplishments that ethanol has made in the last year.
Well, 2024 was a great year, has been a great year for the ethanol industry, Mike. We're looking at record or near record production. We'll be somewhere around 16 billion gallons by the time the year is over. And that's being driven by strong demand. We're expecting to see close to record demand domestically, but where we've really seen the brightest spot, I think, for ethanol this year is in the export market. We're expecting record exports, close to 2 billion gallons. We've never hit that 2 billion gallon mark before, and that's really helped keep supply and demand in balance this year.
Let me interject or interrupt here, because that's a little different than some of our other exports.
That's absolutely right. I mean, if you look at ag exports in general, we've seen a downtrend. We've seen that, trade deficit increasing with ag products, but not with ethanol. That's where we've seen continued increases. We're shipping product all over the world, dozens and dozens of countries. A third of our exports are going to Canada, right north of the border, but we're going to places like India and South Korea and Japan and Colombia and Peru. European Union is one of our biggest customers right now. So it's been a game-changing event for our industry to really see that growth in export demand over the past few years.
As we look at challenges and opportunities, I guess, ahead for the new year, there's a new administration to deal with. And then also, of course, the fact that there might be some tariffs involved here and there. So your thoughts?
Well, those are some potential challenges and potential headwinds that we are keeping our eye on, because the last thing we want to see is any sort of retaliatory tariffs or trade barriers put up in some of these markets that I just mentioned. We don't want to lose or see our progress go backward on building export markets. So that is a potential challenge we're keeping our eye on. Another one is, and it's a familiar challenge, getting EPA to get its rules out on time for things. They were supposed to have already published the 2026 renewable fuel standard requirements. Well, they haven't even proposed them yet. So it's going to be a challenge, I think, to get the agency to get those rules out well ahead of 2026 so our industry has the certainty it needs.
You were on a panel discussion yesterday and mentioned that one of the hurdles for E15 on year-round use is still a big bugaboo, and many of the, I'm going to say, filling stations, they need some guidance.
That's right. We still have, 12 years after E15 was approved, we still have a situation where in two-thirds of the country, gas stations cannot sell that fuel 12 months a year. They can't sell it 365 days a year. They have to stop selling the product every year on June 1st, and then they can't restart until September 15th. So if you talk to your typical gas station owner, they tell us, look, we are not going to make investments and make changes to our equipment to offer a fuel that can't be sold year-round. That's just too much hassle. It doesn't make sense for them. So we are continuing to push for legislation that would clear away that barrier once and for all. That's our top legislative priority. There are bills that have been introduced in both chambers. We're going to scramble to see if we can get something across the goal line during the lame duck session. But failing that, we'll be, you know, back in the new Congress pushing that legislation again.
Well, onward and upward, and good luck.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. I received a news release earlier this week from Congresswoman Nikki Baczynski. She's announced an $11.7 million in federal funding for InnoFeed Corporation to construct a fertilizer production facility near Decatur. By expanding domestic fertilizer production, according to the news release, this U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development Investment will combat fertilizer price hikes faced by American farmers, as well as lower food costs faced by families in the grocery store. The funding is part of the United States Department of Agriculture's Fertilizer Production Expansion Program, FPEP, and will support the production of sustainable organic fertilizer made from insect manure called FRAS. USDA created FPEP to address rising fertilizer prices, which have more than doubled between 2021 and 2022 due to a variety of factors, such as war in Ukraine and also a lack of competition in the fertilizer industry. InnovaFeed Corporation's new facility is expected to yield over 60,000 tons of FRAS annually, which will be used by more than 2,325 specialty crop producers across the country. On the calendar, 1 week from today, it's the annual Illinois Farm Bureau meeting in Chicago at the Palmer House. Starts the 7th of December and continues through the 10th. Well, that'll do it for the early bird this morning. As always, I'm glad you joined us today. Hope you will again next Saturday. And as I always say, have a good weekend. I'm Mike Perrine.